dude. Power to the accidental children of the world. Year three! Oh, man. Happy. It's a good time. Isn't it always? Isn't it always? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dogs and squirrels, welcome back to Full Circus. My name is Tristan Sartoris, and thank you for joining me because I'm so happy to be here with you for this new season we have ushered ourselves into, kind of not really, but technically, as we are now officially over 3 years into this podcast, into the show, and each week it is getting more fun than the last, and I will never, ever stop being overjoyed and thrilled to be here. As seen through the multiple episodes of sickness and COVID and injuries and what have you, we always show up because it's enjoyable and it's fun. Although, even if it wasn't, now at this point, you know, 159 weeks, I'm not going to, like, throw that away because of a sore freaking lip, okay? I don't know what the situation will be, but it won't happen, all right? But anyways, yeah, you can see from last week's party that, you know, there are some remnants of the decorations. Now, look, I got halfway, you know, done cleaning, and I just kind of gave up. And I know you might be looking at it and thinking, Tristan, that's so lazy of you. Yeah, dude. All right. Look, I'm not the David Goggins of cleaning up. Okay. Sometimes I'm not disciplined to get all the way done or all the way through this journey and train for it and go the whole distance. Nah, I'll get halfway and think I've done my piece. Okay. I've made it as far as I wanted to, and I'm going to leave it. And I've also mentally tricked myself into a position where I see them now. I think, well, we could. It kind of fits. It kind of mends. Like, well, look at this. Colors? Whoa, we like colors? Friggin' streamers? Games? We like games and streamers? Like, it's fun, okay? So, for the time being, at this point, I've kind of rerouted. Like, it was GPS in my brain. Like, we got to clean up. Rerouting. Took me right back home. And I think, we're going to stop. So, that's what I've been up to, really, is just not being productive. All right? So, glad to I could catch up with you on that. If you're curious about where I am in my life, that's it. But anyways, yeah, hey guys, thank you so much for joining me. This is Full Circus. If you're new here, now I was typing in, there's a new logo, there's a whole new description thing I was doing. I was just doing a little bit of updates because I wanted to have a lot more done. Like when the 3 year thing came along, we were supposed to be in a new studio and I wanted to have a new intro and a new soundbite and the new logo and the whole thing was supposed to be wrapped together and it didn't work out that way. And, you know, just kind of rolling with it, dude. You just got to be in the moment and taking what you got when you get it. But, yeah, as I was typing up this new description, I stumbled upon a new way of framing it, dude, in Full Circus. And I don't know what I've ever said about Full Circus. In truth, I just, the name sounded fun and interesting, and I just went with it. And now I'm trying to, like, shoehorn it into a philosophy. Like, yeah, no, it's the freak. We're crazy here, but listen, it's full, but there's always a ticket for you. And now at this point, when I've typed it, I was like, hey, life's crazy. Life is a circus, okay? And life is so crazy, I'm outside because the circus is full. I can't even fit in the craziness. But you know how crazy you have to be outside of the circus? And I'm thinking, you know what? How oddball am I that I'm thinking outside of the box, outside of the circus, okay? We like to think outside the circus. Because it's full, we can't get in there anyway. But also, you know, it's just kind of a point of view as someone in their 20s trying to understand life in itself. And it's just really me questioning things, going, why? Why the frick that? Why is this? How does this happen? Where does this work? What is the point of all this? What's it doing? Why is this going on? What's the deal with peanuts? And, you know, that really is what we do here is we just question things. Because I don't understand much, all right? I'm going to be completely honest with you. As I've said more often than not, in the grand scheme of things, all I know is nothing. And that's not a lot to work with. So we continue to question and try and understand things of the craziness that is the circus of life. But again, it's full. We don't even fit in there. All right. So we're really outside looking in at the craziness, thinking, I wonder if I could get to that level of crazy that isn't this level of insane. But we can't for the time being because we have not finished taking down the decorations. But anyways, guys. Yeah, it's fun to kind of go through these little stages of evolvement and, you know, we're just learning, we're progressing, and that's all that this circus really is. But look at that, man. You just keep finding new ways to, like, put describe something that had no meaning in the first place. And that's so much fun. And probably next year we'll figure out a new way. Be like, yeah, you know, there's a different philosophy because the circus with the elephants and the way that people were mistreated and they didn't understand. But they found their place and the circus was made of people who didn't really belong and they're outcasts. But somehow, some way, they found a place where they all fit in and kind of molded together. And look at that. So that's a little sneak peek to next year. But good morning, everybody. Okay, it is officially the morning time, actually. So, good morning to you. If it's not morning when you're watching this, please turn off the podcast and rewatch it at another time, because this is specifically for the people that were productive enough not to finish their chores, but to get up on time. I'm just kidding, guys. Like, if you, this is like lunchtime and you're like, oh man, I can't wait to get to the show, and I'm shunning you. Listen, I wake up at noon most times, so my morning really isn't, you know, your morning. So figure out morning. Good morning is really more of a mindset, you know? It's kind of like good morning is a fresh start to the day. Sometimes I'll throw a good morning out after dinner and be like, look, my daily activities are done. And now I'm entering this new portion of my day where it's just R&R and relaxing and maybe some workout, like whatever I'm going to do. And I say, good morning, self. We're up to this new. Okay, it's a new beginning. So good morning, guys. You know what? F everything I just said. Listen, if it's lunchtime, if it's dinner, if it's the middle of the night for you, if you're trying to fall asleep, hey, good morning. But also, if you're really trying to fall asleep, good night. So anyways, guys, yeah, I'm just always so happy to be here. I'm always so happy to talk with you. And I loved, you know what? I did a little clip of not the whole show, but just a few episodes of the last year that we did, and I posted that in part of a, hey, happy birthday to Full Circus, things are looking great. What freedom looks like.
Freedom!
No! You got ice cream and you're singing! Things are looking up, things are looking grand. And I didn't, in truth, okay, I didn't spend a ton of time on it because it was the middle of the night. Good morning to me, though. And I was just kind of clicking on every other podcast, and I just scrolled to the middle and screen record, like I just took a little clip of it. And I thought it was fun. I thought it was silly. It wasn't like, it was not the best moments, but I just clipped on. It's like highlights, but I shouldn't have said highlights. It was really more just like light lights. Like they were just, you know, some lights. But there were some people who commented. They're like, this is out of 3 years, these are the best comments you can find. And the beauty of this was, one, I don't really care what they were saying because I know the truth that we have fun here. But two, that every time I edit something, or especially on the anniversary, I always put, produced by our head of editing, Timothy Underbite, okay? Now, if you know Timothy Underbite, he is a, well, he doesn't exist, okay? Timothy Underbite is a fraud. He's a fake editor and kind of a producer of the show. He helps in a lot of ways, but not really because he doesn't exist. And it's really more of just a way, one, I love the name. I thought Timothy with two E's, Underbite. It's so funny to make somebody else up and throw them under the bus. And this has happened multiple times. If you can look through some clips through TikTok or YouTube or wherever you find them, if somebody has something to complain, like, hey, this isn't actually fair to how the system works. They go, look, the editor was lazy. They go, oh, okay, respect, respect. Like, I've actually had people back off and be like, oh, dude, I get it. I understand. You know, editors, like, yeah, dude, for real. You ain't fucking dude, it was me. You know? So I have somebody who's really just like, I'm literally, I made this guy up and I just built him in front of the tracks. Okay. Like there's buses coming. Like, dude, sorry, Timothy, this is your life. You were built to die, basically. So I love throwing him under the bus. And it's funny to, I don't know, bond with people who are insulting me by throwing somebody else under. And they go, we get it. We understand. And but little do they know, dude, it's actually me who's also, like, I might be the first person to clip myself out of context. Some of the clips, I'll do something like, that's not exactly what I meant by that. But, you know, whatever. Like, it's a lot to, there's a lot of clips to do. So I'll do something where I might sound mean or I might be not describing the point all the way. But like, listen, it's 60 seconds. I got to hit it. I got to get this thing done. And they're like, that's not fair. That's not exactly what that means or how that goes. Like, dude, take it up with our editing team. You know, they only had so much time and they go, oh, do we get it? Listen, hey, it's up to the editors, right? They've been working their butts off. So, listen, if you are going through any struggle or people are on your back at all, create a fake persona, okay? And proceed to throw him out the window. And people not only will blame him, But they also kind of sympathize with him a little bit. Like, oh, you know, he probably had a hard week. You can't blame him. But it's funny to see how far you can take these things, man. So it would be funny if in the years to come, we have people actually, like, congratulate. Like, I make up a story. Oh, dude, Timothy got engaged just last weekend. So sorry if the editings aren't, you know, like, if it's not on par or if things late. You know, our editor, he's on his honeymoon right now, and people are, like, sending gift baskets. Like, oh, we're so happy for him, dude. Hope he's having a good time. Congratulations upon him. And we just continue for years and years, and nobody knows, okay? I mean, unless you see this episode, then you know. But I take it all back, okay? Timothy, please edit all this out. Let's see if he does. He's not the most reliable because, you know, after what happened to his dog. Guys, if you have any sympathy in your heart, I just want to say reach out to Timothy Underbite. His dog recently fell down and she's okay, but it was just really embarrassing for her. So send your thoughts and prayers to Timothy Underbite and hopefully he'll, you know, get his freaking act together, okay? Because people are being mean. Timothy. So, what's going on for real, man, outside of this new season, this new decade? No, that's not true. This new year, okay, of Full Circus. I started my new year of Full Circus off going back to the dentist, the same one that was not, you know, thorough in their cleaning, who rubbed my teeth in a weird way. It was pretty creepy. And the one who blinded me with the Novocaine, and I had to get another filling. I need to stop eating candy, okay? And I brush my teeth well, but I think I just have so much candy that I outmaneuver that. And the times that I do, I think it's usually like when I eat so much candy, those are the nights that I forget to brush my teeth, ironically. It's like the one time you really need to be on your game is the time I forget all about it. It's like, man, you need to be wearing your seatbelt all the time. And I do, and I do, and I do. And the one time I get in an accident is the one time I forget to do it. That's kind of what it feels like. Not that drastic. Timothy, edit that out. But yeah, so I've had these cavities and that I had to, again, self-report on, and I had to go back there, and I was nervous because they didn't do a great job the first time. So I go back in there, and the guy, dude, I think they only have one head dentist. It's the same guy, and he's like rushing around. He's literally right next to me, and I see him taking out 13 teeth for this guy. I know that because I sat and watched for way too long. They're like, hey, one, two, three, you know, and I was pretty grossed out. But I had to get the numbers for you guys. And he was busy. He's going back and around and going, bzz, 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 bzz. I'm sitting there and just waiting my turn. And he comes around to me, hey, Tristan, how are we doing? I'm like, pretty good. How about yourself? He's like, oh, busy. I'm like, whoa, okay, let's just pump the brakes here, okay? I don't want you doing anything procedural in my mouth with the freaking shots or ripping teeth out or drilling in my face while you're out of breath, okay? I need complete composure. So I was just trying to talk to him for a minute. Honestly, I was like, let's just, before you go anywhere, so I'm just like chatting, like, yeah, so what's going on? What's new in your life? How's the weather going on? Just sit down, let's, you know, have a snack. What's lunch going on for you? Because I, if you're out of breath, hands are shaking. Yeah, so let's do, you're lazy. You're lazy when you're out of your breath. Try and do math problems while you're running a full sprint. It's not going to go well. So I try and distract this guy into taking a break as long as I can, and I don't know how thorough I was, but we get into it, and he shoots me up about 9 times. It was probably only 6, but it was still an egregious amount to be shoving needles up into my mouth. I did not go blind this time, but I felt all of them, and you know how they do a weird thing where they want to, like, he shakes your mouth, like while he's shooting it? I'm like, is the needle not effective enough already? Like, you're already gassing it in. Like, jeez, dude, let go of me. I think I've been shot 5 times. It's going to be okay. So anyways, we get through that. He does his drilling, and then he just leaves. He just runs off. And then a nurse, or what do you call the nurse dentist? She's not like the actual, like, dentist surgeon. Maybe just a nurse? Maybe a cleaner? I don't know. But she came in again, and the fillings, dude, she did not do a good job. I actually have to go back because the fake enamel or whatever they do to kind of make your new tooth or put it in, there was too much. So I can't, like, close my mouth all the way. And she even asked about it. She's like, is that good? And, like, can you feel your mouth? Like, is it too? And I was like, I've been shot freaking 85 times with Novocaine. I can't feel anything. I have a video. I was trying to smile, dude. I was permanently Elvis.
So numb. Smile, smile.
So I kept saying, I can't feel anything. I really don't know. And she's like, well, let me just look again. So she spends so much time grinding down, really trying to make sure she does a thorough job. And she goes, that one's perfect. That one's perfect. That one's perfect. And all I can do is take her word for it at this point. Hours later, the numbness goes away. And I can tell you for a fact, they were not perfect. But also, to the same tune of not doing anything effective while you're out of breath, you can't do anything effective while you're hungry. And this lady was hungry the whole time. She's in my mouth just drilling away and putting the enamel and the freaking fake stuff on. Her stomach is roaring in my ear. And I tried so hard not to laugh. Not that there's anything funny about being hungry, okay? Sorry to all the children and anybody who's in Africa. Like, anybody, you know, who's going through some time and they're starving. Like, no offense. But it is funny to hear someone's stomach gurgle for some reason. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I didn't want to call attention to it. But also, what was making me laugh was that she didn't either. And I feel like at that point, like, you just have to say something. Like, if you sneeze or if you cough or if, like, if you're in my mouth and you just rip your pants, you got to say something. Because now we both hear, and now the elephant in the room is not being eaten because we're both hungry. And I told my brother about this, and he said that the same thing happened to him. What's up with these dentists not eating, okay? I don't need them running around out of breath and hungry. Take a break. I'll wait longer. I don't know why they want me to be there at 9 a.m. Go get some food. But he said this, his doctor actually did address it. He's like, oh, man, I'm hungry. And he goes, yeah, I know. So anyways, they did not do a great job. But in their defense, they are both sprinting and starving. So all is forgiven, kind of. I mean, I have to go back, but I'm going to make sure it's like after lunchtime. I'm going to schedule it for a evening and afternoon procedure. No more like freaking 10 a.m. whatever. Like, I'm going to call up like, hey, are you ready to confirm your appointment? And I go, hey, did the dentist eat yet? And they go, I don't, let me check. Yeah, he's having some Chipotle right now. I was like, all right, I'll be there in 5. You know, I'm not going in. I'm not going in. I need my doctors. I need everybody to be on their game, man. No more hesitancy. No more wondering. No more out of breath. I don't like it if people are on top of things, dude. It worries me. It bothers me, okay? I like just strict professionalism, especially anything that's kind of doctoral. Oh, speaking of that, I saw that a surgeon was just fined $12,000 or pounds. It was in England, okay? So, you know, one of those currencies, probably the most damaging. And he lost his medical license because he was doing a liver transplant, all right? And then he burned his initials into the person's new liver and sewed them up, okay? Now, I don't know how this lady even found out about it in the first place. Like, she must have, like, got an x-ray somehow. Like, dude, did you know that someone signed freaking SAS on your liver? What's going on? I don't know how they figured it out, but she asked questions, she sued, and now this guy, all the years of training and all that money, out of the way. But who signs? Like, this is kind of, he must have been hungry and sprinting, because he this was his excuse, okay? He was doing a liver transplant, and he said he was under stress. And one, again, like I was saying, these professionals, these medical professionals, we cannot let them be stressed out, okay? What? I don't know. Maybe that's what she was doing with all that enamel. She was signing her name because she was hungry and she was, you know, the cardio wasn't there. But for him, he was stressed out that he said somehow signing his name was going to make him feel better.
I was under a lot of pressure that I had to do this whole liver transplant, and it was a stress-relieving act.
That was his defense. Clearly, it didn't go over well because he got friggin' fined 12 grand or 12 pounds and lost his freaking degree, his whole life thrown away just so he could sign his name. Dude, that's like, imagine you're a bus driver, okay, and you're driving all these kids, and they're screaming. You're like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm overwhelmed, and you just pull over, and you just pee in the snow just because you're like, I got to sign my name immediately, all right? I have to do this. I'm going to freak out. Like, I don't know. Have somebody else that can do it. Tag them out or take a break. What happened to breaks, man? Why is it just going to happen immediately? Like, dude, the only way, like, did they teach that in medical school? Listen, guys, when you're in the field,
when you're in the thick of it, when you are in surgery and you've been up for hours and people are counting on you and someone's life is in your hands on the table, if you get nervous, all right, don't go into your mind. Don't try and meditate. Try and close things out. What I want you to do, okay, is to grab a laser and just start writing maybe some riddles or jokes or just sign your name, anything you want to do, print or cursive, on their kidneys, liver, organs, whatever, because it's going to calm you down. I know this for a fact. All right, champs, get out there, all right? And make sure nobody eats either, because we want you hungry on the job, hungry for success. I don't know what they're doing over there, but everybody's hungry and unprofessional, and I just can't take it, okay? I need people to be well-fed, not rushing around, and also have enough control to not, dude, are you a child? You know, like my brother used to just write his name all the time on everything and like on the car windshields where it would like in the fog or the dirt or whatever. And it would just like stain there. Like what kind of, I don't know how impulsive that is as a professional. And you do that. I don't know. You can't, there's just certain jobs where there's no room for that. Okay. Me, dude, if I'm sitting here and I'm typing something, I might freaking, you know, type my name. I don't know. That's where it belongs. But if you're a skydiving instructor and you get stressed out and you just start like just sharpening on the back of this guy's neck, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, but still, I don't want you freaking out as the guy who should have everything under control. You just come back like, what the frick? Did somebody write a joke on my neck? I don't know what this is. So anyways, I thought that was pretty wild. What a weird, also like the crazy excuse, if it is true. If it's not true, then, I mean, the least wittiest doctor of all time. Why did you do that? I was nervous. Oh, okay. I don't know how you thought that was going to go over.
Dude, this guy.
Well, we can excuse that. Normally, we frown upon people just signing their names into their patients' organs, but this guy, he was nervous, and that made him feel better.
Oh, man. What a hoot. So anyways, outside of my dental visit, I'm still training for this Spartan race, man. And if you heard the last episode, I went to the hospital because I tweaked something. I went running and I couldn't breathe. It was a whole bike thing. And this past weekend, I went training with my uncle. And we went up to the high school and we start running laps up and down the hills and around and push-ups and the whole galore. It was tough. It was difficult. I definitely am not in the prime shape that I would like to be in, but I was pushing myself to the point where I both felt like I was going to throw up and enjoy it, but also die. You know, there's a good middle ground between death and barely death that you want to reach, because you don't want to just barely die, because then you're not quite all the way there. I'm saying this as a undisciplined person who can't even take all these decorations down, but you know what, in the realm of training publicly, I was going to give it as much as I could. However, I did start feeling that same freaking knot right back under my, not in my ribs, but wherever that was so concerning. And man, I'm glad nothing happened, but I'm so dumb. The fact, like, I was feeling sick and about to throw up, and that's fine. And, you know, we're just barely done. We want to get a little bit further. And I felt that same, and I just kept going. And I don't know why. Like, what's a, you know, there's better things to push through. But we did do that, and that was fun and horrible. So look forward to, hopefully, a success story. Looking forward a couple months now. I tell you what, though, it is difficult because I have been, like, cutting weight and putting on weight back and forth for so long. And the hardest part about training for a big, big cardiovascular mission is that it's hard to try and put on muscle after I just got finished cutting and I was ready to do sort of like a mini bulk and, you know, put on freaking swollen size. But at the same time, I'm, you know, you're doing so much energy expenditure. It's hard. People say your body's neurosystem or whatever, dude. Science, math. All right. That's what I think of intelligent people. Sorry, guys. All right. If you read textbooks, I didn't mean it. Again, although the smartest people usually can't handle their stress or eat on time. But anyways, yeah, your neurosystem or something, they say it can't recover. So it's been hard. So I was kind of going back and forth in my brain, tossing it up. Well, I can't do it anyway, so I might as well just throw it all out together. And that was a bumming kind of realization. So then I, for like a week and a half or more, I just start eating like crap and putting on weight. Because like, well, you know, I can't work out. I can't freaking put on muscle. This is just going to be a good few months of cardio. So what's the point? I'm going to do my thing. And then I'm just putting on weight. And then I'm so fat and lazy and getting cavities. I have to go back to this weird dentist that, you know, it defeats the whole purpose that I'm not even training anything to begin with. So I don't know. It's just sucky situation a little bit, but it's also something I really want to do. So you gotta, you know, pick your poison, I guess. Figure out what you want to do in this life. You know, I don't know. I do not know. But that's where I am physically, as I'm trying to find a balance. I don't know. Is it possible? I wish I had a smart guy who could say, hey, you can do this and that. And that would make me feel better. But I don't have the answers. You know how hard it is to live life without answers? Incredibly difficult. I'm just like filling in B on every single thing and hoping I get 30% of them right, which isn't too bad in the grand scheme of life, man. If you get 30% of your days right, that's over 100 days, 130 days, 120, 1.5 days out of the year. That you're a superstar, okay? And you think about that, man. What do they say about Michael Jordan? He made like 146 game-winning shots, but missed over 700 game-winning shots. Huh, dude, a few days are winning. What am I talking about? Oh, yeah, I remember. Warner Brothers, okay? That's a nice little segue. I gotta tell you guys, I'm so upset ever since Discovery bought the Warner Brothers. Or is it the other way around? No, one of them. Okay, Warner Bros. Discovery, dude. These shows and movies that they keep writing off, all right, is so insane and it's upsetting, all right? Now, the deal with this, as far as I understand it, again, not the greatest or most knowledgeable person in the world, but when you make a project, it costs millions, right? Like the Barbie movie, I guess, cost over $100 million to make, and they spent 150 or 200 million or something like that just in advertising. Like you spend much more money on the advertising itself kind of than the movie. And it sells big when you do it, but if people make this project, right, like all these shows and movies, they did it with Batgirl, they did it with a couple Scooby-Doo projects, I think, and now they're doing it with Coyote versus Acme, okay? Now we know I'm a big Looney Tunes fan, okay? This was supposed to be a fun, exciting Looney Tunes movie, all right? And they're writing it off for a tax write-off. Because, look, you spend however much money on the project, and you think, well, maybe it didn't test well. I think that's what they said. It's like, it didn't test well. It's not what we want, so we're going to write it off instead of using the money to advertise it later on so they can write it off for $30 million or something like that. And then they try to shop it around because everyone's demanding, just release it, just show it. Like, we all want it. Clearly, there's an audience for it. Like, everybody want like these huge projects. And it's so sad because they don't want to spend the money to promote it that they can kind of reclaim some of it. But I have to imagine that these projects would make at least whatever the write-off was going to be. Like, $30 million for the write-off. I don't know how much they spent on the project itself, but it's so awful, man. So we've had stuff like Final Space, Infinity Train, again, these Scooby-Doo projects, Batgirl, and the Looney Tunes stuff. There was another one that was supposed to happen with like Bugs Bunny's like last bow or something like that. These cool things, cool projects. Again, dude, I love the Toons, all right? And it sucks because it's, you know, it's all a business. And there's these exciting things that are actually being made. The movie's done. This Coyote versus Acme, this movie is done, but they won't release it. And I hate it. I hate it so much. But they say they're trying to shop it around, but nobody thinks they really are because they're like, we're going to sell it for $70 million. And I feel like that's up for grabs. Like, I feel like people would be jumping at it. And I just don't think, maybe it's like a ego point. Because now they're like, this, trust me, it didn't test well. Nobody wants to see it. And we're like, and some people have seen it. I think some of the performers, yeah, there was a couple voice actors who got to see the project, and they're like, well, originally, I thought when they wanted to write it off that the movie didn't produce well, it didn't test well when they put it in test screenings, like clearly it was going to be a failure, so why spend the money advertising it and finish it, you know, throughout? They just wanted to collect, you know, whatever percentage they could. But now that I've seen it, I know for a fact this movie is amazing. And then they're still doing it. Like, it makes me sad. It really does. Warner Brothers, get your act together, okay? Quit making awesome things that people are excited about and then just like, yeah, we could get something back in change. I don't know, man. Or maybe spend less, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But it's upsetting because they make some good stuff, all right? Or at least they own some good things that are being made. And it's really awful if you think about it, because these people who spend months or years, and animation takes an awful long time to do, and an awful amount of work, the writers, the directors, the editors, you know, Timothy Underbite. I mean, imagine if he did all this work on the show and I just said, nope, I'm just not even going to release it this week. That poor guy, okay, after what happened to his dog falling down, she's so embarrassed. But, you know, it's just wild. It hurts more people than it does good for a couple mil. I'm saying this as someone who doesn't have a couple mil. I feel like I would want a couple mil more than they would, you know, a millionaires who want a couple more mil. I feel like I would write something off. Like, listen, I don't have a couple mil. I want a couple mil. But these guys got a couple mil and they want a couple more mil. Ho ho. Hey, hello. Greedy. Boop. Nice to meet you. So anyways, guys, it's bananas. It's going crazy. Other than that, dude, we're still working on the new podcast studio. Hoping to get that done. Hoping to get some pieces. It's going to be really exciting, dude. There's a lot of big changes that are going to come to this show in the most exciting way possible. Okay? That's the only thing I could say. Just think big changes. And that's what it's going to be. All right? So whatever you visualized right there, make it bigger and change it. Okay? So, oh, man. I love to have fun. Welcome to Full Circus, guys. We're outside. It's fun in there, but it's also crazy. Okay? And it's so full, we can't even get in, but we're crazy. We're crazier. I don't know. Describe the show. Describe what it means to you. That's what Full Circus is all about. Guys, describe what Full Circus means to you deep down inside in your heart of hearts. But anyways, yeah, we're working on the studio, and my dad had recently gotten this door, and he left it out in front of our house. And these kids, there's some kids that are like in the woods. And it's a big, like, security door. And these kids are making some sort of tree house. So my dad left it, and he's like, hey, you know, buddy, I got you this new door. It's going to work well in the studio and all that. And I go out to go look at it, and it's not there. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're going to have to go back in the woods. These kids took the door. And look, and also, like, kind of respect to them. It's a heavy door. Like, they probably had to gather up most of the neighborhood to go and do it. But a kid freaking stole my door. You know how embarrassing that is? To think you have something and to find out that it's been part of a treehouse at this point. I should have let him have it, but I won't. And now whenever I see that door in the future, I'll think, hey, I took this from a child. But you know what? These kids are no good anyway. All right? I'll say that much. No, I don't know that. But also, I've been outside before, and they'll come and they'll just chirp, man. They'll say stuff like you're slow or you're not talented, not something like that. I don't know. I can't remember, but they've been pretty weird and awkward, and I don't know why they just keep walking up to people at all and saying things. I would never do that. And also, listen, I don't swear now, so I guess I'm not one to really talk, but they're like 8 years old, and the mouths on the children these days, man. They're just throwing out F-bombs at each other, okay? It's not acceptable at all. But I don't know where the kids' parents are, because they're just stealing doors, which I was never allowed to do as a kid, and swearing at each other, what I also was never allowed to do. But again, I went to a, you know, private school, so it was a lot harder to get away with. I was homeschooled. I have to acknowledge that, because just in case you don't know, then the joke doesn't land all the same. But anyways, yeah, dude, we were never allowed to swear. Dude, I got soap in the mouth, all right, for saying stuff like stupid or idiot, okay? That was the kind of swearing that we did, because we were so scared, and even when we did, got soap in the mouth, all right? Now, again, shouldn't have been getting cavities, because I was literally so clean. My mouth was so clean. But look at me. Look what that kind of parenting produced. I'm a good little church boy. Look at it. I'm so nice and fancy. Dude, my hair is getting progressively curlier as time goes on. I don't know how to feel about it or stop it. But I don't know. You know, it is what it is, I guess. But anyways, yeah, these kids are stealing doors, cursing at each other, and terrorizing the neighborhood. And I don't know where their parents are. Okay? And because I don't know who to report this to. You know, if somebody steals a door and you're not there to say stop,
It still happens.
So, yeah, these kids, man, I don't know. I just went and I stole the door from, like, they weren't even there. So I did, like, a recon, like a freaking mission. I was just, where are the kids at in the woods, which feels equally as creepy. And I'm looking, where are the kids out there? Like, I'm the Grinch, but I'm just taking things from a treehouse that they built. And it's my stuff anyway, but still, to go into the woods alone. Give me this freaking door out of here. I don't know. The good thing they didn't catch me, because they would have cursed me out. And as somebody who doesn't swear, man, I would have looked pathetic, because they would be like, you freaking effing point three. And I'm like, hey, you poopy heads. And, you know, they would have got me. They would have got me. Oh, dude, this isn't a great segue, but speaking of kids, man, I saw the new Quiet on Set documentary. And I'm not even going to make any jokes about this, dude. I'm just going to say that it is sad, okay? It's a documentary about the children's shows that were going on Nickelodeon. And the kids, like, there was so much abuse. Not just the kids. Like, some of the women writers and stuff like that. Like, or just other people on the show. It was awful. And they went through a lot of crap, and nobody knew about any of it. Some people knew about it, and I guess they just stayed quiet, but it was actually super sad to watch. I'm not going to make light of that, but what I will say is that I wanted, you know, like most kids, desperately to be on these, like, Disney and Nickelodeon shows and whatever. And I can't tell you how glad I am that I wasn't. Like, they were kind of like away from their parents from an inordinate amount of time. And even when the parents were trying progressively to, you know, be close and keep an eye on them, like, I don't think anymore that children's shows or anything should exist. And I'm sorry, kids who want to grow up and be a part of that. You don't. All right. I don't think at any point in time, all right, parents should be absent, whether it's at the dentist or the freaking priests or the Nickelodeon shows. Like, I don't know. I don't think kids should ever be left alone without their parents. Again, that's easy for me to say because I went to a private school, and my parents were always around, so I felt safe and no one was able to, you know, I was so sheltered, but very privileged in that sense. But it's just so sad. It's so crazy that these poor kids and people, and I felt bad for him. Like, I was getting angry. I was like, I had to go protect these kids. But then they cut to the kid, and he's now like 35 or whatever. I was like, oh, I guess, you know, he's fine without me. But it's sad, man. And I think about now these freaking kids that I don't know where their parents are, and I just went and took their door. Okay, so maybe there should have been apparently around. But it's sad, dude. It is sad, and I don't know. I'm bringing it up mostly just because that's what I was into. It's what I was watching. And also, it's just, I don't know. Pay attention, okay? If you got kids out there, I don't know who listens to this show, okay? What demographic or what age group it is. If you have kids, keep an eye on them, okay? And don't let them get into show business. That's freaking crap. It's scary. It's messed up. And also, dude, the people, like the worst people on that whole production were marketed as these, like, the way they portray themselves were these happy-go-lucky, just the friendliest, most outgoing people of all time. And as I'm looking at these guys and the way they're being described, I'm going, oh my gosh, they're like me. I'm happy-go-lucky, outgoing, friendly guy. And the parents are like, yeah, they were so nice and charming. We loved talking to them. They were so kind and friendly. I'm like, oh my gosh, parents love me too. And I would like to just say, hey, this is my brand. You can't come for my territory. I don't like these people, like, intruding and making a bad name for the fun, silly, little, goofy guys who want to talk about Looney Tunes. So I can't kick them out. But all I can do is I think I got to make a change up at this point. Okay, so I might just have to start rolling elderly people into traffic or something, or literally keep throwing my editor under the bus because, look, they're intruding. And I got to change up the brand. I got to change the reputation just a little bit, okay? Maybe not nothing too drastic, but just enough that people go, oh, he's not perfect. Because that's kind of the reputation I have at this point. Is that people look at me and they go, oh my gosh, he's funny, handsome, talented, smart. He's good at everything. He knows everything that he needs to, but not really. But he pretends. But even when he doesn't, he makes a good point about it. And he's kind of good at taking down all the decorations, but not all the way, but it's enough. It's like a conservative amount of decoration removal. And it's a respectable amount, and it really grounds him and humanizes him. So really, he's the perfect specimen. And I got to be careful because at this moment, that's how people are talking about me. And, you know, I don't know, because that's how people were talking about those guys. And it's just scary, man. It is scary. Okay. We'll see. We'll see. I'm just the golden child, man. I'm the golden child. All right. Take that, all you other brothers. You want to be the golden child? It's too late. It's me. I don't know if that's true, man. I don't know. But also, I don't know. You know what I was thinking about? Interesting thoughts.
Skip the details and the plots. These are some of my interesting thoughts.
Okay. I don't know if I was an accident, truthfully. And if you ever try and ask your parents, depending on how nice they are to you, they won't admit it, all right? But I don't think it's a bad thing to be an accident, because I was thinking, man, sometimes my parents do joke about it and say, oh, we didn't mean to have him, or oh, we got to get rid of this guy. And I go, you know, but I was thinking, dude, how great it would be to be an accident. I think that would be the greatest ever. Well, provided your parents like you. But because my parents love me so much, I would love to be an accident. Because you know what that means, dude? That means they didn't want to have you and they kept you. You know how good you gotta be to be shoved onto a team where the coach doesn't want you as a player and you end up as a starter? Okay? And not only starter, as the golden child, dude, I'm the Tom Brady of the team. And they're like, oh, the new regime, we're carrying over some players. Don't worry, we're going to force this guy out. We didn't want to have him in the first place, but he's so good. He's the quarterback. Dude, if you're an accident and you're part of the family, take pride in that. Okay? Because you're so good. They didn't want you, but they love to have you. Rather than people wanting to have the kid and be like, okay, well, now this is our choice. We made this happen. Clearly, we have to stick with this. But as an accident, dude, I think that's kind of a little bit of leeway for the parents to go, okay, skedaddle. Or, you know, not put as much as they want, but it depends on what your situation is, really. But my parents freaking adore me, and I know that because, well, I ask them, and I pay them to say it sometimes. But you know what, dude? Yeah, if you're an accident and you're in any sort of good situation, take pride in it, dude. So I would love it, dude. I would love to be an accident so much to know that I wasn't meant to be here and I still made it happen. Also, dude, how crazy is that? Other kids have to freaking, it takes work and they have to plan. They have to plan these kids to come into the world. I'm just like, dude, surprise. What's up? I'm here. You couldn't stop me if you wanted to. That's power, dude. Power to the accidental children of the world. We are the best, okay? The best breed. I'm saying we, as if it was happening. I don't know, but I hope so, dude. It would be so great to be an accident, to know you willed your way. Dude, no one controls you. If you're an accident, okay, you willed your way into the world, and you willed your way into their hearts, and you willed your way into the family and to be a crucial, fundamental piece that they couldn't think of a single day without having you, okay? And that's the accident, all right? And how these other people, they can say, oh, we love you, we're so glad to have you, but they meant to have them, okay? It's kind of like you go out and you buy a guitar, right? This is a guitar that you wanted, you planned on having, you went and got it, okay? And of course, you're going to be like, yeah, no, this was a good purchase. I'm happy that I got it. But then someone else just gives you a guitar, like, here, just take it, just have it. And you're like, oh, I didn't really want this, but now I got it. And of course, I could get rid of it. I could do anything what I want with it because I didn't buy it with some of my own money. I didn't say that I wanted, but now that I have it. But then you end up loving this guitar so much, maybe even more so than the other one, but you end up loving this so much that you keep it and you hanging on the wall with pride? You're an accident, okay? Be proud of yourself because you made it happen, okay? Nobody else can take that away from you, and no one can take anything away from you, okay? Because they didn't give you anything. They didn't mean to have you, but you meant to have you, okay? And you are meant, dude, talk about being meant to be here, all right? That's just an amazing sentiment that I just started thinking about, and I don't know. I hope I'm an accident, but I keep asking about it. And like, no, Tristan, we really meant to have you. Like, jeez. Like, really? Great. Perfect. You just meant to be. I didn't, no willpower at all. I didn't do anything successful. You just freaking made it happen. All right. You just loved me from the beginning. I didn't earn any of it. Oh, come on. God, I wish that was an accident. But anyways, so that's what I've been thinking about mostly. And you know what? Power to the players out there who are, but listen, I guess it's just good to be loved in general. So I guess if you have good parents, congratulations anyway, because I do. And congratulations to me. But listen, if your parents don't love you, just know that we love you here at Full Circus anyway. And we didn't mean to have you. okay? This show did not mean to have you as an audience. If you stumbled upon this, this show was not meant to have anybody really listen to begin with. So, you know what? I'm happy to have you here. And the whole conglomerate of circus goers or wanters to go into the circus who are outside of the full, I don't know. Listen, forget about the philosophy. I love you guys, and I'm happy to be here with you. I'm happy to have you here. And that's by accident, but you know what? You willed your way here. You made it happen. You're an accident in my heart, and I couldn't get rid of you if I wanted to, because you guys are that great. Look at that, man. Am I a poet? Hallmark, call me up! All right, but just in case, if this show doesn't sell well, Timothy Underbite, I'm sorry, but we are going to write this one off. So, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. This has been Full Circus, and it will be next week as well. And I appreciate you guys so much. I don't know. I was going to say I'm going to shoot another episode, but I'm not, because I whatever. Pre-planning, production, you don't need to hear about it. That's for the businesses when we bring it, you know, right up. Guys, I'll see you in the next one. I love you. You beautiful accidents. Happy!